Welcome to the Vancouver Current Worldwide Podcast. Today, we're going to discuss trees. Gosh darn it, the more you study and read about trees and their ecosystems, the more you respect them. They're fascinating. My name is Ray Talili.
Hi, everyone, and my name is Spencer Alexander. So, trees.
Go ahead. I know you're waiting to make a BC tree hugger reference joke there, Spence.
Yeah, man, but no, it's okay. You know it. Go on.
Actually, the term tree hugger originates from a protest, would you believe, that took place in 1730 in India.
Everybody knows that.
Well, actually, it was some Bishnoi Hindu villagers. Bishnoi is a sect or branch of Hinduism. See what I just did there?
Very funny, man. Very funny.
Anyways, well, yeah. They clung to some trees to prevent them from being chopped down to build a palace for the local Raj.
So what happened?
All 300 plus protesters, men and women, or tree huggers as they became known, were then killed by the loggers.
Ouch, really?
Yeah, and it became a thing, tree satyagraha, shielding trees to prevent them from getting chopped down.
Interesting.
So I've got a question for you, Spencer.
Go for it, man.
In fact, I want to ask this question to all our listeners. Have you ever been to an old growth forest? By that, I mean a forest that has been untouched by humans, as in not chopped down or harvested or replanted, like a primary, primeval, or virgin forest that's been in its natural state for more than several hundred years.
I thought I had until recently. I've lived in BC, Alberta, and Ontario, and traveled through Idaho, Washington State, and other states. I thought for some of those forests were untouched.
Me too, until I found out that, for example, here in British Columbia, only 2.7% of the old growth forest survives.
Man, that's sad. Less than 3% remain. And yet, Ray, surely you understand the need for the forest industry. We're all complicit on some level.
We are, Spence. We export lumber to the world. We build our houses, furniture, use books, Kleenex, paper.
Think of how firewood has shaped us. Heat, cooking, tools, and so on, man.
And all the ships that transported people far and wide. Look, mea culpa, guilty as charged. It just makes me angry, though, that we still have to fight to protect the 2.7% of old growth that is remaining. Like 97% isn't enough. I mean, come on, society. That number is a little better in the United States. The estimate is that old growth in the U.S. accounts for 7%.
Those forests have survived because they're on public lands, right?
Yes. In Canada, most forest is on Crown land as well as on First Nations land. But that doesn't mean old growth forests are protected at all. In the U.S., Pacific Northwest, for example, 80% of forests are slated for chopping. We can't go without lumber. The economic importance of logging to BC, for example, is absolutely massive. In Canada as a whole, forestry accounts for $23.7 billion of nominal GDP and employs over 200,000.
Wow. If governments can't protect the remaining old growth, what's the solution?
Public awareness to protect certain areas. The public really needs to speak up and let politicians know that this is important. This can't just be left to protesters who are getting arrested. It's the only solution I can think of.
You know, one place I love to stroll around when in Vancouver is Stanley Park. The fact that in the late 1800s, people had enough foresight to create a forested urban park, wow, just awesome.
Enlightened Victorians, you know, for those of us who have access to nearby parks or greenery and clean air, that's an impossible dream, by the way, for billions of people, literally. An astounding 91% of the world's population breathes unhealthy levels of polluted air.
Ouch, man, 91%.
Yep, you're in the 9%. If you live in North America, your air is cleaner than most other places. All the forests you see along the amazing drive, for example, over the Rockies and the remote interior, all the way to Alaska, including Stanley Park, by the way, all of it has already been harvested and replanted. It's all second growth forest. You can tell just by looking that the trees are young, like not more than 80 years old.
How?
30
how
years can, old. Even.
30 yeah. years. Okay, so how yeah. can you tell? How can you tell?
Well, once you see ancient or mature trees or mature ecosystems, you can just tell what a younger one looks like. You just know by looking.
Makes sense.
Okay, chances are that you, me, and most of our audience here has never ever set foot in an old growth forest. There are a few listeners for sure who know where to find patches of old growth forest. We're talking about you guys.
Oh, you know, I'd love to visit the Amazon. Can you imagine the richest ecosystem in the world?
I know the insane biodiversity. The plant, animal, tree, and insect diversity packed in just 1 square kilometer in the Amazon is truly incredible. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah, man. That must be something else.
I have a friend. She went hardcore with her PhD botanist boyfriend of the time doing research in the Brazilian Amazon, Heart of Darkness style. They had to wear hazmat style suits for the insects, plus the heat and the humidity. She said it was unbearable.
Whoa. I'm not signing up for that field work. I'd stick to the nice tourist tarantula-free circuit down there. Yeah.
I believe the further north you go, the less venomous critters get. Did you know that?
I did. It's like the further south you go, the spicier the food gets. How many trees are there exactly on the planet?
It's estimated that there are 422 trees for every person on Earth. So 3.04 trillion trees, mostly tropical and boreal, and to a lesser extent, temperate forest. That's 50% less trees than when human civilization began, by the way. 31% of the world is covered in forest.
That's still a lot of trees, man. We humans like trees.
We do. There's something about trees that humans like. We have a fondness for them. It's like an ancient connection we have with them or something.
There is, and you really feel it when you go for a walk in the woods or the forest, that energy.
Exactly. When you're in their ecosystem, you feel it. I mean, they communicate with each other through their roots, and fungus and whatnot. They warn each other of dangers. They have their personalities and communities, the creatures.
Yeah, their defense mechanisms are interesting, aren't they?
They are. Consider how a tree might produce sap to attract predators that will eat the insects that are attacking it.
That's so interesting. How about this? One of the oldest trees in the world is called Methuselah. It's a bristlecone pine, and it's approximately 4,765 years old.
Methuselah, love it. That's impressive. Actually, that bristlecone pine forest is located in California in an old growth forest that's 5,000 years old. Equally interesting, there's a bush called the King Clone in the Mojave Desert that's 11,700 years old.
Wow. You can walk by that bush and never know that you just passed one of the world's oldest living organisms. That's true. Probably that's why it survived. Incognito yeah. mode.
Totally. It's a good way to go unnoticed. Be unremarkable, be in the Mojave Desert.
Yeah. That quiet genius survivor that outlives everybody. So is the bristlecone pine forest the oldest old growth forest, at least in the US? Like, where would I go to find a really old tree or old growth forest? Where are they? Aside from the Amazon, of course.
At 5,000 years, that bristlecone pine forest is quite small at around 100 square kilometers or 40 square miles for our American friends, and is nowhere remotely near being the oldest forest on Earth. But it is the 10th oldest forest in the world.
Wow. What's the oldest?
Okay. The oldest old growth forest in the world is the 1,200 square kilometer or 460 square mile Daintree rainforest on the northeast coast of Queensland in Australia. It's an astonishing 180 million years old.
What? Wow.
Yeah. The second and third oldest are the Borneo lowlands forests and the Taman Negara tropical rainforest in Malaysia around that area, 140 million years old. Then you've got the Amazon at 55 million years old. Not the oldest, but the most diverse.
The Amazon. Wow, 20% of the world's oxygen.
Yep. Next on the list, the fifth oldest forest is on the Caspian Shore, bordering Iran and Azerbaijan in the Caspian Hyrcanian. It's over 25 million years old. Then Reunion, the French island in the Indian Ocean. There's one in Kenya, then Pando in Utah, and Japan's Yakushima Island.
Wow. I've heard about the Pando in Utah.
I'm not surprised. That's because it's not quite a forest. It's a root system, a clonal colony. It clones itself. So it's one large organism, almost the largest single organism on Earth at 43 hectares or 80 football fields.
Wow, this thing is 80 football fields large. It's incredible.
Yeah. So this thing, this creature, a quaking aspen, shoots out clones of itself. So Pando, you're not really looking at a forest of 47,000 different trees. You're looking at 47,000 limbs, so to speak, of the same root that look like trees, you know? It's 80,000 years old and weighs 6,000 tons, one of the heaviest living organisms.
Wow. So what could possibly be bigger or heavier than this thing?
Good question. The largest single organism is a fungus in Oregon, a honey mushroom. It's 1,803 football fields large. It lives about 1 meter underground.
Man, how can you not marvel at nature?
Right? As the great American naturalist Thoreau would say, nature is a greater and more perfect art.
Nice. Good job with the football field reference, Ray.
Thanks, man. Lots of people don't know what a hectare is.
And you're right. Most of us have never been in any of those forests. But I love that we still live in a part of the world with lots of forests.
It should be noted that our provincial parks or nature preserves that are protected are doing quite well. Those forests are recovering nicely.
That's good news. Just walking in woods is good for your mental health, isn't it?
Plenty of studies prove it. Lowers blood pressure, increases focus. In fact, healing occurs faster when patients have a green view, apparently. Mm. Really great, not just for adults, but exposing kids to nature is a great investment in their development. Lots of studies on that.
Yeah, it makes sense. And that works for me too.
Me too. All humans should have access to not only clean drinking water, security, etc., but also clean air. And I love the really well-planned and managed cities on Earth all ensure that their citizens have access to parks within a 10-minute walk from any point.
I love that too.
Hey, the Japanese have a word, shirin-yoku. It means forest bathing. Shirin-yoku is encouraged for overall health. Does your Japanese sex robot companion forest bathe there, Spence?
You know, Ray, you couldn't let it go, eh? I don't own a sex bot. Ray is the only one who thinks this joke is still funny. It's so season one, man. Let it go. Okay, sure. Okay, moving on. You know, I really like those access to nature programs they've rolled out in cities like New York to give underprivileged inner city kids the opportunity to walk through some woods or by a stream. Very often for the very first time.
Yeah, apparently those programs proved so popular in some school districts, they're maintaining them. A University of Illinois study showed that test scores improved and teenage aggression decreased when students were put in classrooms with views of greenery and trees.
I believe that.
And other reputable studies have shown that green space helps decrease aggression and crime.
Ray, I'm concerned by the increasing number of smoke days, especially here in Calgary. We get smoke from the fires from Western U.S. states, B.C., and Saskatchewan. There's more and more of them every year. They had smoke in New York City this year.
That's crazy. And those are the fires that you hear about. They're increasingly absolutely massive fires that dwarf all other fires in Siberia, for example, that gets little news attention.
Russia's Siberian forest is basically the same forest we have here in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same boreal forest, that stretches across northern latitudes in Alaska, Norway, Sweden, Finland. It's one big forest. Spence, do you remember the trees when we worked up in Yellowknife?
I do, distinctively. They were really small.
That's right, because we were right near the northern limit of trees, the point at which trees will not go beyond.
Yeah, dwarf trees. I believe it has something to do with the limit of sunlight and roots limitation due to permafrost. Remember the size of those birds?
Oh yeah, huge crows, the size of chickens.
Yeah, man. Man, you gotta hand it to humans and trees that can grow and live in the most extreme climates.
I know. I was in the Sahara Desert and the Sahel, and sometimes you'll see this one tree in the middle of nowhere by itself, and you think, how? If I had to pick where to live, I'd take the desert over the Arctic. You?
I think I'm going to go with the Arctic.
The Mediterranean forests are being hit really hard. Then there's the Congo and other African forest fires that get little attention. The Amazon, Australia, Indonesia. These aren't your regular seasonal wildfires.
No, these are more intense. And the fire season seems to be getting longer and longer now. There are the natural wildfires from lightning, and then there are the human-caused ones, which in Canada, unfortunately, accounts for 55% of fires.
That's a sad stat, 55%.
Yeah, campfires and cigarette butts. Most of the human-caused fires are generally extinguished quite fast, as there are no human settlements. It's the lightning strike ones that occur in the remote areas of the north that really cause the most damage. Lightning starts about 45% of all fires in Canada, but account for 81% of the burnt area. And with the drier climate conditions and more frequent lightning strike, it's a bigger issue.
So here in Vancouver, we're in a temperate rainforest, which is why it rains all winter like it does in Seattle.
You're not allowed to complain about rain when you purposely decide to live in a rainforest.
True. Fun fact time, Spence, you want to go first?
Okay. The ginkgo biloba tree can live for thousands of years. At 1,000 years, their immune system is the equivalent to that of a very young adult human.
The manchineal tree, found in places like Florida and the Caribbean, is so dangerous that eating its fruit will kill you or make you severely ill. Shelter under the trees while it's raining, and you will get nasty sores and burns. They put marks on them so that people know to stay away. If the tree burns and the smoke hits you, you can lose your eyesight.
Ouch, man. The Joshua tree is so called because Mormons crossing the Mojave in the mid-1800s were reminded of a passage in the Old Testament where Joshua raises his hands to the sky in prayer, like the shape of the tree branches.
Interesting. The exact location of the oldest locations of the oldest and tallest trees in the world, including the aforementioned Methuselah, are kept secret for obvious reasons.
Ah, good. As they should. The country with the most tree cover is Suriname, in which 98% is forest. 90% of Gabon is forest.
And we are out of time, Spence.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Great tree talk.
Indeed. Thank you, Spence. And thanks to all our awesome listener friends. See you next time.